Hello, I'm Kiff Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
Oh,
salvation.
Amen.
And I'd like to see that person come forward on their occasion, because it's in keeping with scriptural admonition, confess Christ before me. Come back tonight, because Lord willing, I'm going to give you 7 steps to successful Christian living. You don't want to miss it. Not because I'm bringing the message, but be here. We need this. Church members, every one of you. Talk about people being saved. There's been, remember, Cameron had several people saved. Sinesville football team, food pantry that you have a part in. There's been 105, as we can ascertain, to receive Christ through that. Road visitation, Brother Jim, 5 people saved. Downtown, I think 10 people saved. They're homeless. Take care. Bill Graham, telephone TV ministry. We're just having people saved by hundreds. I think it's been 700 this past year. Wade Akins, which is uncle, John David. Wade Akins is seeing thousands saved through Pioneer Mission. Tony Cash, by the way, will be with us next Sunday. Begin our Bible study in the book of Psalms. You don't want to miss it. So, he's seeing people say, and thank God he's still working. You glad?
Amen.
Man,
amen.
Give the Lord a praise.
Dear Heavenly Father, it's great to be in your house this morning to worship you. We thank you for the privilege of being with us here.
Yes.
At the end, we're going to meet with you in a great maximalist time. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this blessing this morning. It was a blessing to all of us. I'm pretty nice to bless you upon the service this morning. You know, Brother Bud, you speak through me.
Yes.
That we may receive the message that each and every one of us needs.
Granted.
And I pray your blessings upon all of them on our prayer list that are sick in any way, that you help them to heal their bodies with peace and comfort to loved ones that have lost friends and relatives in the last several weeks. Just go with them and give them peace. And bless this offering this morning as we turn to you. We'll use it to glorify in your kingdom.
Amen.
Stay with me.
situations that tug of war at me. All day long I struggle for answers that I need, and then I come into his presence, and all my questions become clear, and for the sacred man. Thank you.
congratulations on Tim, the half that he got me up here before 11:30. That means appreciate that. He can back me up. So thank you for backing me up.
I got you back.
Well, Tim, Ken, when you call him out early part of the week, he doesn't go up to preach for you on Sunday. It's good, but yet it gives you, you just got so much, you keep on digging, you keep on digging, and you don't have enough. I mean, you gotta have enough time to put it all in, so you gotta listen fast this morning, and we'll try to get through the most of it. One of the reasons that I'm sharing what we're talking about today is because this morning your Sunday school lesson was about heaven. Yeah. You know that a lot of the evangelicals today, they don't all believe that you're gonna go to heaven. 56% of all of our college graduates don't believe in a hell. So you can see the situation that our world is in. We're thinking about this morning a man who went to hell with heaven on his mind. Wednesday night we saw a video about the value of a soul, how much a soul is worth. And so I thought the way that Franklin Graham was quoting the scriptures, the black man was quoting the scriptures, and I wished that Kenneth don't tell them what I was speaking on this morning because they've already heard it. But if you have your Bible this morning, will you turn with it to that of the 10th chapter of the book of Mark? In the 10th chapter of the book of Mark is where we'll be sharing from this morning. And Mark is an interesting book chapter to read from. Matter of fact, you'll find that we're right in the last part, verses 42 through that of 50 of chapter number 9. Again, the Lord is telling us about the warnings about hell. Here in this particular chapter, he's blessing that of the children, and he talks about the law of divorce. He talks again about his death, his resurrection. He talks about James and John, who desires to be first. And then we come to that passage of scripture where that there is a young man who comes before the Lord. Now, Renee was singing about Jehovah in the presence of Jehovah. Here is a young man who's going to stand in the presence of Jehovah, and yet he's going to depart from that man and go with his destination to that of hell. A preacher, is this in the Bible? It certainly is.
Yes.
And so we're going to be looking at that this morning as we look at this subject, the man who went to hell with heaven on his mind. So if you have your Bible with you, look with me in chapter number 10. I'll begin reading in verse number 17. And verses 23 through 31 is where Jesus tells them about the warning of riches. So here's a man that comes to him with that of a lot of riches, a lot of possessions. And so the Lord's going to use this to teach his disciples a lesson in the latter part of chapter number 10. So in verse number 17, it says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that's God. Thou knowest the commandment.'" Now notice he puts them in the reverse order. He don't start out with "do not kill." He says, "Do not commit adultery." I said, "Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not." In other words, don't use somebody else's means to get ahead. "Honor your father and honor that of your mother." Now, Jesus is not using these to share to that of this man, "If you'll obey the law, you'll be all right. You can inherit eternal heaven." That's not what he's talking about. He said there's a whole lot more. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest." What he lacked was idolatry. His God was that of his wealth. And so that's what he was saying. "And one thing thou lackest," and this verse of scripture, "go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. God does not condemn wealth. He condemns the love of wealth. Right. That's what we're looking at here in this passage of scripture here this morning. Regardless of how you look at this particular subject, the word hell is an awful thought. I've heard people time and time again, I've had people to say to me, "Go to hell." When you say to a person, "Go to hell," are you really saying, realizing what you are condemning that person to do? To go to a horrible place. terrible place, unquenchable thirst. You'll have a mind, you'll have a memory, you'll remember, just like you'll remember every sermon that was ever preached, and you were given the plan of salvation. In order for you to be saved, you'll remember that. I believe you'll have that in hell when you end up there, if that's where you're going. And so as the scripture here, and I was concerned about, I know there's a verse of scripture in the book of Ezekiel where it says, "For the soul of man never die." So I, you know, we're getting really up on it. And I got on the internet and I went to Google and I typed in "For the soul of man never die." The role of hope come up: Willie Nelson, Hank Williams, and John F. And that song that it talks about, first talks about how that he on Canaan's land. He's on his way to a place where the soul of man never dies. Now that kind of Canaan is the kind of thing that we're talking about in Sunday school. That's heaven. But this, we're talking about another place, an unquenchable place of fire, and that's a place called hell. So it's a terrible place of memories and a horrible thirst. You remember the rich young man in the book of Luke? He wanted somebody just take a and put his finger in that of water and touch the end of his tongue. Wouldn't that be something? How it would be with going through eternity in a terrible place like hell, unquenchable flame, terrible torture, and thirsting like that. It's a place of eternal separation. If there's an eternal place in heaven, there's an eternal place in hell. And so here it's going to be separated from the presence of God. When I think about being separated from the presence of God, that's hell in itself. When you're separated from God, what would it be like in this country when God removes his spirit from this country? What would it be like if all of your family departed and left you and you never knew where they went, you never heard from them anymore, you never saw them? This would be horrible to think about your loved ones, but to be thinking about being in hell from the presence of God, separated forever and forever, that is a terrible thought to think about. So hell is a place that was prepared for who? Hell was a place that was prepared for that of the devil and for that of his angels. But all of those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, they give us a whole, almost a chapter pertaining to that of the judgment of those who died without that of the Lord. That's in Revelation 20. You look in Revelation 20, verse number 10, it talks about how that the beast who has tortured them and give them all that trouble, how that the beast, the false prophet, and Satan are going to be cast into that of the lake of fire. That's going to be the first that's going to be put into the lake of fire. That's Paul's hell. And then it goes on down in verse number 15. It says, everybody whose name's not found written in the Lamb's book of life or the book of life, they too will be cast into hell. Don't you tell me that we don't have a loving and a just God. A God that will tell a lost person, because you rejected my son and depart from me, go into the pits of hell. And so that's because they're going to go there. And so Revelation is a good place for us to look. And so hell's going to be a horrible place to spend that of eternity. Loved ones that we have today that's unprepared, and they're going to go. They say 56% of all college graduates today, they don't believe in a hell. And so we see the situation that we're in. If you don't believe there's a hell, people are not going to believe anything about getting ready to go to heaven when they die. And so I can think of one thing that would be worse than going to hell. I think about that, going to hell with heaven on your mind. Think about that, going to hell with heaven on your mind. Does that really happen? I can give you some examples in the Bible where that happened. For example, the book of Judas in Matthew 25, verse number 26:49. This is when he kissed the gates of heaven and opened up none of the gates of hell. You remember he kissed that of the Lord to hell master that gave him away. He sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Also in the book of Matthew says that he went out and he hanged himself. In the book of Acts, the first chapter, verse number 18, it says, and his bowels burst out. I believe he went out, hanged himself, and he hung there until he got blood, his body bloated to the point that when they cut him down, that he fell and he just burst open. And so this is a picture of how horrible it is. Here was a man that was in the presence of heaven, in the presence of God for 3.5 years, but he saw heaven and went to hell. Right. And so this is another situation. We find a man by the name of Felix. Felix also, he looked into salvation, but he wanted to wait for a more convenient season. There's a lot of folks today that come into the church, they want to wait for a more convenient season. They want to wait until they can get their life straightened out. Folks, you'll never get your life straightened out in order to be a child of God. You've got to have the Lord to straighten you out. You've got to have the Lord to clean you up.
Right.
And so this is what he was doing. He said, go thy way for this time, for I have a convenient season, I'll call upon thee. And there was a period of Agrippa, another trial of Paul. He stepped up to the very doors of heaven and turned away. And he said to that of Paul, although thou hast persuaded me to be what? To be a Christian. And then there was Festus in Acts 26, 24. He said that Paul said, he heard the teachings of Paul. He said it sounds like a raving madman. And so there three or four examples in the scripture of people who had a taste of heaven, had an opportunity to go to heaven, but yet they rejected and turned away. As far as we know, according to that of the scripture, there's none of these men who died and went to heaven. The very same thing takes place in the text here. Here comes a young man to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know his name, but we know he had the sin of idolatry and he needed to repent and he needed to exercise some faith. And here man comes and hears the way of salvation and he turns away and he leaves as lost as he came. Here's a man that thinking that, well, there's got to be possibly another answer. I need to find out another answer to a question. He probably has gone to some of the rabbis. Now here's about another rabbi. Here's about another teacher. He refers to Jesus as a good teacher. And he thinks, well, maybe he can give me the answer. I can get satisfaction maybe from him. And so he comes to that of the Lord Jesus Christ with this question. They hear the gospel. Now, people come in today, the churches, they come in, they hear the gospel preached. And they go out of the church, they're given an invitation, they're given an opportunity to repent, and yet they come in lost and they go out lost. And so we see this happening on and on and on. So let's take a little fresher look at this passage of scripture here in Mark 10, 17 through that of 22. I'll notice some things about this man here. You notice that this man says, I want you to see his status, his search, and that of his sorrow. The status was, look in verse 17 again, and when he was gone forth into the way, apparently right out in the middle of the road, he approaches that of Jesus and bows down to him and asks him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit that of eternal life? So what kind of privileges did this man have? All three gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew says he was a young man, a wealthy man. Luke says, in Luke 18:18, Luke said that he was a certain young ruler. Apparently, he was a leader in that of the synagogue. And so here is this people that would tell us about this man, what prestige he had. All the information that we had in verse number 20 was he was a good, clean, moral man, a religious man that needed to know the answer, didn't have the answer. And just like Nicodemus, that Pharisee, he came to Jesus by night. This man didn't ask that for a secret meeting. He came in the daylight, right out in the middle of the opening, and bowed down to that of the Lord. And so this man here, he lived a good life. Probably everybody looked up to this man. Outwardly, he looked like he had everything going for him. He was the type of person that every mom and daddy would want their son or their daughter to be like. So if you look at his life, you might think that he had it all made, everything was fine. But you know, appearances is deceiving. Appearance is deceiving. You can't tell by looking at a person whether they're right, whether they're religious, whether they're saved, or whether they're lost.
Amen.
You cannot tell. All we can do, we can't judge that person, but yet we can be a fruit barrier. We can judge the fruits. If there's any fruits about the person's life, that will give you an indication. So here a man had found out that from his youth it left him unsatisfied. All the wealth that he had obtained, that left him feeling unfulfilled. His morality, his clean living, and his religious activity had not been able to satisfy the deepest longing of that of his soul. Now his this real climb of the ladder of social success had failed him to give what he wanted. And that's another reason he needed the peace of God. That's what our Sunday school lesson was about this morning. about having peace with God through that of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we found out that the way to the Father is through the Son and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is a situation that we see today. It's still going on. There's a possibility there may be somebody sitting here this morning. You're in the same situation that this young man was in. From every outward appearances, you think you got it made. Everything's going just fine. And life being good to you. You may have a nest egg stored away somewhere. Now, you may be retired. You may have been promoted. You've gone up the ladder. But maybe there's something that's missing. And maybe you live a good, clean, moral life. It's a sad thing to think about that a good, moral, clean life living person that will die and go to a place called hell. That's what's sad. People say, well, he's a good, moral man. You can be a good, moral person and still die and go to a place called hell.
That's right.
Now, Lorraine said in Sunday school class here a few weeks ago, preacher, don't preach on hell anymore. So you listen to me this morning, Lorraine. And so here, no doubt he can be a leader of the church. He can be a teacher. You don't have to be a member of the church not to be lost. You see, folks today, I think there's a church, a lot of people in the church today, they don't know for sure whether they're saved or not. And so the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know? You see, the heart sometimes will tell you believe when really you don't. The heart sometimes will tell you you're all right when you aren't all right. And so that's why the scripture says the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked, and who can know it? I tell you, who knows your heart? God knows your heart. Good morning. You can have everything that you need materially, but if you don't have the peace with God, what do you have? Everything looks good on the outside, but it's on the inside that's all messed up. And that's a terrible way to live. That's a horrible way to die. And Mark 10, those three verses there, 17 through 20, look at them again closely. It says, good master, what must I do that I may inherit that of eternal life? He says, Jesus refers to, you know, the commandments. He lists about six of them. And he's and that young man says, all of these I have observed from my youth. Now, apparently that's a good indication. The man had lived a good, clean life. But yet he comes to the Lord. He's an answer to the question that he wants. He wants to know what he has to do to inherit that of eternal life. And in other words, in 17b, he wanted to know there's something that was missing. He wasn't sure. And so he thought this good teacher would be able to answer his question. I think a lot of people, they never realize that there's nothing in this world that's more important than their soul salvation. When I say their soul salvation, your soul is your life. You remember Adam, when Adam was created, God created him from the elements of the earth. He was a corpse. And then God breathed into him and he became a what? A living soul. And so your soul, when you die, that's contained within your body. When you die, your spirit, the Bible says, goes out to be with God to who gave it. If you die lost, your spirit goes to a place of torment. And if you're saved, it goes to be with God.
Amen.
One of these days, the Bible says he's coming back again, and the spirit should go with him.
Amen.
And he's going to come back with him.
Right.
And so we're going to come back and rule and reign on the earth here for 1,000 years. And Franklin Graham quoted that scripture in Mark 8, 36 and 37. What would it profit a man if you were to gain the whole world and then lose your what? Lose your soul. And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? This rich man here, when he found himself in hell, in a place of torment, I believe he had given every dime that he had to have had one more chance to have heard the gospel presentation and to have given his heart and life to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see he has a need and he desires to do something about it. He came, he was eager, he came running, and he was unashamed, humbly kneeling before this carpenter. Now he is a leader in the synagogue. He's bowing down to that of the son of a carpenter. And I like what reading in the paper what President Obama said about in the prayer breakfast recently, said that Jesus was a son of God. That don't tell you something, folks. Yeah, if you can't read between the lines, something's lacking in your knowledge of what's going on in the world around about.
Right.
And so we see he comes running. He comes while Jesus is in the way. He shows that he's not ashamed to admit that he had a spiritual need. I think that prevents a lot of people today from having that satisfaction, having that peace of mind, that they are too proud. They're too proud to bow before God. They're too proud to take a stand. They're ashamed to stand and say, I will follow that of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're worried about what somebody else is going to say or what somebody else is going to think. It don't matter. When you stand before God, those people are not going to be there to either defend you or not to defend you. So the man's got a lot going for him, and with all of his power, possessions, and his privileges, he still does not have the answer to the greatest question of all. He's forced to admit he doesn't know the way to heaven. And so this is why he comes to this young master or the teacher that he supposed that he is. Now, a lot of people today aren't thinking about that of eternity. 86% in 2013, they thought that, in 2005, they thought that that there was a heaven, that they were going to heaven. But about back in 2013, it's down about 8%, down from 68% to 75% that thinks that they're going to go, that there's a place called heaven. So most folks don't want to sit around and talk about that, and they don't want to sit around and talk about that of eternity. Their thoughts on everything, with the exception of God, heaven, and that of hell, and where they're going to spend that of eternity. So we've got so much here in this world today. You know, we're the wealthiest people on the face of this earth. They say that if a couple that just makes $15,000 a year in the world's income, you're in the 18th top richest people in the world. I was curious about that, and with my income, my health, retirement, all of that, I'm in the 12% of the richest people on the face of the earth. That's according to that of the standards of the world. You see, this morning, there's people that don't even make a dollar a day. And that's terrible to think about how the people in the world are living. So we are very fortunate. And so, yet people still, they don't have the answer. Well, intellectually, you know, we're so smart. We know so much. I thought about yesterday, Alan called us. I sent a text. He said, I've eaten in the Windjammer. In other words, that's a restaurant on the back of the ship. And he showed a picture of Elaine. She's propped up in the bed reading a book at 2:30 yesterday afternoon. Isn't it amazing to have smartphones for dummies like me and to have all this going on? Man can split the atom. He can put a man on the moon. He can put a man up there in space living for a year in space, bring him back down safely. Man is smart, but yet we're getting farther and farther away from God, and they don't have the answers to the most important things of all. And so that's what about people. A lot of people don't even care. They don't care. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Listen, this man was concerned about his soul. Are you concerned about your soul? Where your soul will spend eternity. Your soul, mind, will, in heaven, you'll know about your loved one. The Bible says we'll know we were known, so you got to have a mind, a memory, right? And so that's what your soul is. But your spirit, that's, you know, the Bible makes mention the renewing of the Holy Ghost. When you get saved, you know what happens? You get the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Like when God breathed into Adam, he became a what? A living soul. And so to be born again, that's what happens to the spirit. When the Holy Spirit of God comes in, that's what you call the rebirth. And so here is a man. He was confused at first, and he came to that of the Lord. He came to the right person with the right issue.
Amen.
You know, in our lesson this morning, John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father except he come by me.
Right.
And so Jesus said that he is the way. Acts 4:12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other name given among heaven, among men, whereby you must be saved. Here, that's the first sermon I ever preached at Sinking Creek. I preached on what is salvation. Salvation is an experience. Have you had an experience? Salvation is an expression. You don't get saved and just be quiet about it. It's an extension, and you're going to do something, and it's an expectation. Something great is going to happen.
Yes.
That's going to be the final result of your salvation. So it comes to the right time. Just see that black man in that video quoted there. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's found. Call upon him while he is near. And so this man gets a lot of things right in his encounter with the Lord, but there's some things that he gets wrong that causes all of this problem. And so if we look at the scriptures here a little closer, if this man thinks his salvation can be earned. In other words, he said, good master, what may I do to inherit that of eternal life? He was wanting adding something else to his resume about what all he had done and what he could do. You see, if people today can earn their way and to get to heaven, the Bible says you'd be bragging about it. You don't have nothing to brag about, folks. It's what God's done for you. Amen. You don't spell salvation D-O. You spell it D-O-N-E.
That's right.
What's been done that enabled us to be saved. He wants to get salvation, and it's like he's got other things in that of his life. He thinks that salvation is a reward. He seems to think about if he can do enough, good enough, that that's going to enable him to be rewarded with salvation at the end of the way. You can't do enough. You can't be good enough. It's what he's done for you. It's not a reward to serve. Now, we talk about being faithful. Won't you be faithful? Be a servant. You can work and work and work and work and be faithful at day in and day out. Come to church every Sunday, but that's not a reward for salvation. The Bible says in John 10, 28, that's in good shepherd chapter. In John 10, 28, the scripture refers to it there. And I give unto them eternal life, and shall never perish. And shall never perish. I mean, they'll never come into condemnation. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's a good scripture where Jesus says, I'm the one that gives life. And so people still believe that salvation is based upon do. Now there are some things you must do. You must be born again. You must believe. You must repent. But Jesus has done it all. It's not joining the church and being baptized, being a leader, a teacher, giving tithing, things of that nature. That's good. That's how you're supposed to live your Christian life. But that doesn't give you the assurance for salvation. The Bible tells me, Paul wrote in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It says, not a work, lest any man would what? Lest any man would boast. Now, I'm like a lot of you. If I could get to heaven because of what I've done in these last number of years, if I could get to heaven because of the things that I thought I've done, then I'd be boastful. I'd be bragging about it. Look what Bud has done. And I can't do that. It's by God's marvelous grace.
Amen.
By his grace through faith in the Son of Jesus Christ that enables me to be saved. Salvation, beloved, is through Jesus Christ. You see, when Christ died on the cross, some of the words he said was, it's finished. When he said it's finished, that means that everything that God required for the redemption of mankind had been paid for. Like that song we sang, he paid a debt I did not owe, I owed a debt I could not pay. And Christ Jesus paid the debt for me. And so salvation is achieved by his death on the cross and enables us to receive him by faith. Salvation's never been about what we can do. It's always been about what God has done, what the Lord did for us. The Philippian jailer had the same question in mind when he asked Paul and Silas, first, what must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas answered him and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Now that's not changing, folks. That's still the same way. That's how that you have the assurance that you can do to be with the Lord. Now, the Lord challenges this young man. He called him a good teacher, a good master. And so what the Lord wanted to challenge this man was that you've got to see that I'm more than that, just a teacher. You've got to see that I am the Son of God. And so that was the question. Don't call me good. No one is good except what? No one was good but that of God. Obviously, this man considered Jesus to just be merely a great teacher. There's a lot of faith today that calls him a great prophet, a good man, but denies that he is the Son of God. Some say that he's the brother of Lucifer. Some say that he's a child of Mary, who God had sex with Mary enable him to be born into this world. So do you know who the Lord Jesus Christ is this morning? He is the way, he's the truth, and the life. He's the only hope that you have today in salvation. In 1 John 5, that's that good chapter in the Bible where it tells us for how you can be sure whether you're saved or not. In 1 John 5, 11 through 13, we read these words. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
That's right.
Here's the next verse, that's that no-so verse. These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, if you have believed on the name of the Son of God. And see, that was the question that Jesus wanted to get to this young man. Do you look at me as a teacher, or do you see me as the Son of God? In John 8:24, the scripture also says, therefore I say unto you, you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. For your information, in Ezekiel 18, verse 4, verses 20 and verse number 24, here's what the scripture says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. That means the soul. My soul, your soul, we sin, is going to die. That's why we need the Spirit to be reborn again. And so it's not just someone that, it's not someone you, that you add to what you already have at the end of the way. He is all that you have that matters. John MacArthur tells about sharing the gospel with that of a young actor from India. And at the close of their conversation, the young man bowed his head and prayed to receive Christ. As he prayed that prayer, he began to say, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it great? Now I've got Mohammed and Christ too. Folks, that's not the way it is. It doesn't work that way. It's not Jesus and something else. It's Jesus and Jesus alone.
Amen.
That's another sermon that Brother Ken and I've been working on for years. Is Jesus the only way? Jesus is the only way, folks.
That's right.
You see, Mohammed, Islam, religion, that came out 600 some years. Actually, the Bible had already said anybody come to you with another gospel other than what's already been preached to you to be accursed. You see, they come with other means, other ways. Like some of the fact that about as many boats on the way to heaven. There's one big sea and there's a lot of boats that's on the way to heaven. Friend, let me tell you something. The only boat that I know that's going to get you to heaven is to be in the good captain ship Jesus in order that you go to be in heaven. That's how it's going to work. It is Jesus. Concerning the condition of his soul, Jesus gives this young man a list of commands. Now, that's not saying that he's got to do this. He's not saying that, obeying the law is going to save you. That was good. But listen to what the Bible says in Titus 3:5. It's not the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. And notice it, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Underline that in your Bible or think about it for a moment. Renewing, that's what happens when you get saved. You see, everybody has a spirit. You have a triune nature. You're like God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You have a body, you have a soul, you have a spirit. But your spirit has to be reborn. And that's what the renewing of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is the same. And so that's what it means. And so the scripture here is saying, this is the thing that you've got to do. Now, a lot of people down through the years said to me, pretty good, I pay my bills, I don't beat my wife, I don't abuse my children, I'm a good neighbor, I try to live a good life. What they're saying to me is that I'm basing my faith and my religion on my good work. Hope, it's not your good work that's going to get you to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. You know what's wrong with that? The problem with people is the problem is with that of the heart. You remember I quoted the scripture in Jeremiah 17:9 where it talks about the heart is deceitful and what? Desperately wicked, and who can know it? Romans 10:3-12. As it's written, there's none righteous, no, not one. As if there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God, they're all gone out of the way, They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Richard spoke about here a while back in prayer meeting about the fear of God. There's no fear of God today. There's no fear of God today because of what people are doing. We're seeing the attacks and vandalism to our churches. People come in and set fire in the pulpit, turn on the sprinkler system to go on. I believe they sent $1 million worth from that of vandalism. No respect for God's house. No respect, no fear of God in this land in which we're living in today. Now, you can clean up on the outside all you want to. That doesn't make it all you can do. You still become a lot sinner. Maybe you quoted this morning about a pig that you can wash a pig, you can put perfume on it, put a bowl around its neck, and when you turn it loose, it's going to go right back to the mud hole. That's the nature of a pig. Now, you can take a cork, you can comb its hair if you got hair to comb, and you can put a little perfume on it, smell it, you can put it under some good colored glasses. It'll make your body don't look so bad laying there in that coffin. And that's, you're still going to rot and decay when you go to the grave. You see, that's what that's for. A sinner can turn over a new leaf, beloved, but that's not enough. You got to look a little deeper than that. So what Jesus is wanting this young man to know was that he needed what only God could provide. Folks, that's what we need today. We need only what God can provide. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lord and a Savior, you need this morning to come and do what this young man needed to do and simply confess that you're a sinner and that you need to be saved and be born into the family of God. Here's a man, beloved. He was offered a Savior that would save his soul. He was offered a cross that would lead to a crown. He was offered a home in heaven, but he departed sorrowful because he had many possessions. I don't know what your idol is this morning. It may be pleasure, it may be your home, it may be your family, it may be your job. I don't know what you consider to be your God. But listen, your God, if it's not Christ Jesus, you don't have an assurance that you're going to spend in heaven one day. Now, we've been talking about people going to hell. We all have loved ones. We all have friends. People say to me, I don't have a burden. You don't have to have a burden for the lost people. God tells you that you are to witness to them. You're to tell them about his love. You're to go to them. This morning, I wonder if you have somebody on your heart and on your mind that's lost that you'd like to be saved. Brother David Hill, you make your way down to the front. In just a few moments, I'm going to give you that opportunity. You to come by and bring a piece of paper for him to write on. You come by if you have a loved one that you know that's not prepared to leave this world. He's unprepared. She's unprepared. You come and give David that name. Write it down quickly and go back to your seat and pray for that person. And let us as a church begin to go and witness and share to these people that God loves them. Listen, folks, it's important that you be obedient to that of the Lord. The Lord's requirements is that we love him. Father, you know every heart that's in this building this morning. And Father, you know every need. I pray, our Father, that men and women would turn loose of the things that they hold on, that they're putting their faith and their trust in, and that they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. For the person that you're this lost, I pray with faith that they look unto the Lord in order to be saved. And Father, we thank you for what you will do. Father, I pray that they'll not depart from here, coming in lost and leaving the same way. Lord, this is a soul saving station. And Father, we want to see them born into the family of God. I pray for those prayers to be offered up today. For those that know that there's a possibility that someone sitting to the other side that's not saved that needs to be saved. Father, have your way, I pray, in the name of Jesus, our Savior and our Lord. Father, I pray that we'd be willing to take up that cross and follow the Lord in all that you suggest to us to do. I pray, Father, that you'll save someone lost, reclaim a Christian that needs to get back closer to the Lord. And Father, the church's doors are open for those that would want to make this little church home. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now the first part of the invitation is, how many have a loved one? If you know it's lost, you'd like to see saved. You know a loved one that's lost, headed to that. Now, come on, raise your hand, don't be bashful. I'm sure that there's many of you. I'll raise your hand, folks. Now I'm not here just playing games with you. I want you to be serious with the Lord. If you know somebody that's lost, you'd like to see them saved, come give David that name. We're going to pray for them and ask their church to go visit. Let's stand to our feet and just play the instruments softly and come and let David know.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, boomscreekbaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.